Let Vic get it. It's a funny thing I'm chuckling at is now I'm taking you to the Old Testament. A couple of things. All right, if you're in my Sunday school class, the books are in. Be sure and grab one off the front pew. We have partnered with Fairfax Memorial Funeral Home to do a food drive. And they're just excited that we're participating. And, of course, the Grimsley is going to be setting up the Angel Tree Ministry here in a couple of weeks. And we're doing Samaritan's Purse with the Shoebox. It's just a great way for us to be a blessing to other people. Now then, Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually, without the veil of the testimony, in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning, before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually." Let us pray. Father, bless now as we desire to walk with you in a new and a fresh way. Father, we desire a blessing. Thank you for the music tonight. But Father, fill our cups tonight. Father, we need you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've been preaching a series called Everyday Bible for Everyday Disciples, practical messages on how the Bible will help you live and how to live out Bible principle. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Ben assisted me with a message on how to stay on track spiritually, where I made him stand there with those strings all the time. Man, and at first you think those strings aren't heavy until you keep your hands in the air for an hour. Yeah, then they get real. Those little strings get heavy. Well, this is the second helping that I couldn't get to for that message, and I want to be a blessing to you tonight about it. How do I stay on track spiritually? Well, what does Leviticus 24 have to say about that? Well, we're going to get to that. But just let me review a little bit. If you remember, take your Bible, go over to Psalm 37. That's where that message was out of. Psalm 37 talks to us about how to stay on track spiritually. And the whole point of that message before was when you get off track, because listen to me, this world is trying to knock you off track. And when the devil knocks you off track, and sometimes he does because that's his plan, he wants you to get off track spiritually. He's a sneaky son of a gun. He really is. He's smart and he knows how. He knows how to get to us. And it's when we're off track spiritually, that's when we make dumb decisions. We make life-altering decisions. We don't realize the impact of it. Now, here in Psalm 37, verse 1, how do I stay on track, preacher? Well, fret not about evildoers and don't be envious. Listen to me. Don't worry about what other folks are doing. Don't worry about that. You put those blinders on. Who remembers the Clydesdales from the Rose Bowl parade? They always had those blinders on to keep them looking forward. And the truth is, brothers and sisters, your walk with God, you need blinders. You need to understand that you can't fix what's going on in the world beyond those you can reach with the gospel personally. You can pray and reach them with the gospel, but other than that, you got one vote in the election and that's it. Don't get frustrated, don't get flustered, and don't fret about it. Well, these people live like the devil and they seem to be prosperous. Listen. There's a lot of things going on there that you're not aware of. Number two, trust in the Lord. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. That means do right by faith, expecting God to bless you. You want to stay on track spiritually? Remember we talked about do good and do it by faith. And then number four, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. Finding your delight in God. How do I stay on track? Find my delight in God and his fellowship. Verse number 5, how do I stay on track? Commit thy way unto the Lord. That means trust God with your future. Yeah. Yeah. Part of you are suffering from hurts and burdens that have yet to be healed because you've not trusted God with your past. But you need to trust God with your future too. Verse number 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Be assured of God's promises. You want to stay on track? Recognize there are promises and you need to pray those promises back to God. My kids were excellent at this. They always were like, well, you said, you're right. That's right. And I go to God with those promises and go, hey, God, you said. Verse number 34, wait on the Lord. Wait, wait. What is he saying? Wait on God's timing. My timing and God's timing are never the same timing. Can I get an amen? Amen. So when God doesn't act when you think he ought to act, you need to just wait on God. He's getting the pieces in place. Verse 34 says also, wait on the Lord. Look at that. And keep his way. That talks about faithfulness. When God doesn't act in the timely fashion you think he ought to act on, just stay faithful anyway. It's the only thing you really have control over in life is whether you're faithful or not. So just be faithful and trust the Lord. And verse number 8 and 9 say, cease from anger. Do you see that? Cease from anger and forsake wrath. You need to trust God to collect on that debt of sin that that person has sinned against you. You need to let God collect on that. All right? God's better at it than you are. See, we get off track spiritually. And the only way to stay on track is to trust God. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. God has given you godly examples in this church of people that you can look at and go, you know what? I want to be like them in this area of their life. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's got everything going on perfectly in every part of their life but Jesus. But when God gives you a godly example in our church, I'd like to have a marriage like that. I'd like to walk with God like that, or I'd like to do this like that. I've used many people in my church over the years as godly examples to help me at least have a target to shoot at. You know what I'm saying? And you should too. These are the ways we stay on track, because the world is constantly wanting us to fret and fuss and worry and get us off track. Now, when you get off track, you need to come back. You need to get back to the Lord. Listen to what it says in Psalm 107, verse 6. Psalm 107 and verse number 6, the Bible reads, Psalm 107 and verse 6, the Bible says, and then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to the city of habitation. The devil is a liar. He is a dirty, rotten, stinking, filthy piece of worm-ridden filth liar. And he wants you to believe you can't come back. You've crossed a line. You've messed up. You've married the wrong person, or you've gotten crossways with a family member, and there's just no way God can fix it. There's no coming back. Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. Now, the way back requires humility on your part. None of us like it. None of us like to humble ourselves. None of us get up in the morning and that is their jam. That is their deal. That is what they love to do. Let me humble myself today, Lord. None of us pray that prayer. But the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. The way back requires humility. When you get off track spiritually, that's what those two strings symbolized. It also requires confession and repentance. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. At that moment, you're clean. Now, the devil will try to convince you you're not, because the consequences of your decisions are still bearing fruit. But at the moment you humble yourself and say, God, I messed up, I'm sorry, forgive me. You were right all along, and I'm sorry. Here, I'm back. I'm here, Lord. You're clean. At that moment, you're clean. Now, either the Bible's true or it isn't. Right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Why is he just? Because the blood of Jesus Christ covereth all of our sin, past, present, and future. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. At that moment, when you humble yourself and pray and confess your sin and repent, at that moment you are clean. And you and God are right with each other. And you are back on track. Now the farther, I missed an R, Miss Angie, in my English. The farther you go, down the wrong track, though, the greater effort of humility. Because your pride has spent so much money and time investing in this mess you've created. There was a guy in the Bible who instead of trusting in the Lord, the king hired mercenaries. And when the preacher showed up and said, get rid of them. You don't need them. Yeah, but I spent all this. And he said, what is that compared to what God can give you? Oh, I suppose you're right. There were consequences for that decision, but he was right with the Lord when he repented and came back. But it will take greater effort, greater loss, greater sorrow. And Satan knows how to get us to step off the path. He knows how to make it look like a good decision. He knows how to make it sound like it was our idea. And he does it by making it look like such a small decision. See, the last sermon when I preached this, it was about the inward battle with the outside stuff. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the inward battle with your fleshly stuff. Go back to Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24. Another thing that keeps us on track is we need fresh oil. Here in Leviticus 24, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they'll bring thee pure olive oil beaten for the light to cause the lamps to burn continually. Oil was a picture of the Holy Spirit. The light that it was that produced by this candlestick was the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit. Now look here. It says these lamps should burn continually without the veil. So you had the courtyard, and then you had the holy place where the candlestick, the showbread, and the altar of incense. And then you had the most holy place when you crossed into the very presence of God sitting on the top of the mercy seat, which was right where the wings of the cherubs were on top of the Ark of the Covenant. So this sat out in the holy place. And what's cool, if you ever study the tabernacle, and I know some of you are starting to yawn right now because the idea of the tabernacle, but do you understand when you get in the courtyard, the first thing you do is you come to the laver of grace, which is unmeasurable, and you're washed, and then you go to the altar and you make that sacrifice with blood, and then you can pass through. It's powerful how God did this. But God said, I want this candlestick to burn. Now look at these words. There are three times he says the word continually, that this has to happen. And then you see in verse 3, it says he's to order it. The word order it means he's to refuel them and put in fresh oil in Exodus chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27 and verse number 20 and 21. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, so to cause the lamp to burn always. In the temple of the congregation without the veil, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. That means it was supposed to be done every single day. The priest had to pour new oil into that lamp every day to keep the lights burning. It had to be addressed daily or the lamp would go out like it did in 1 Samuel chapter 3 because Eli and his wicked boys were in charge of the tabernacle and they let the candelabra of God go out. And the candlestick is a type of Christ. In John 1:9, it says that Jesus was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In John 8:12, Jesus again said unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. It was made of pure gold, if you'll look back here in Leviticus 24. This is a picture of Christ's deity. In Exodus 25, it says that it would be beaten, that was hand hammered. It was a picture of the death and sufferings of Christ at the hands of men for the sins of men. It was a golden candlestick of God's deity. All the other furniture was either made of wood and wrapped in bronze or made of wood and wrapped in gold. This was to be just gold. Now, the light was essential. There were no windows in the tabernacle. There was not to be any other light source that would void the light of God shining through The Bible says sometimes you were darkness, but now are ye light of the world. I wonder what cancels out the light of God in our life. I know we don't lose our salvation, but we don't always burn as brightly as we do in other times. And Satan works very hard to block the light of God. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine through. Just like this lamp, if you're going to stay on track spiritually, you've got to refuel every day. You need fresh oil every single day. Yesterday's grace isn't going to do you any good today. I'm telling you, you don't get grace unless you face something. So you don't get grace for that which you don't face. Well, yesterday's grace isn't good for today. I need a fresh oil from the Holy Spirit of God. Now that fresh oil comes in the written word of God. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So many times we try to minister, we try to serve, we try to witness without the power of the Holy Spirit because we didn't refuel today. Amen. We didn't go back to God and get a fresh dose of oil. This is what had to happen for us to minister to Him. You understand, when they walked through that initial veil and they were just in the holy place, it's dark. If the candelabra wasn't, if that candlestick wasn't burning, they couldn't see to minister. They couldn't see to align the showbread or to the altar of incense. They couldn't do anything because there's no natural light. You know, you and I are likened to a candlestick. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. How many times have you and I went to witness, but we forgot to refuel? How many times have we got up to teach Sunday school, and people have invited their friends and their family, and what a disservice we have done to these friends of ours who've brought their friends and family, and we were not filled with the fuel, with the new oil of Christ. You know, you don't have to refresh your salvation. But you and I both know there are times when you and Christ are walking tight, and then there's times where it's like, I haven't heard from him in a while. I wonder how he's doing, you know. And see, if you're going to stay on track, the devil wants your light to go out. He wants you to get busy to where you don't refuel. You don't go back to the Word of God and feast. You don't submit to the Holy Spirit of God. Look, the church is only as spirit-filled as you are. The church is only as submitted as you are. So how do you refuel, preacher? Well, like the priest in the tabernacle, you need to go to that holy place of prayer with God. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The mercy is for when you step out of line, but the grace is to empower you to do the things God has called you to do. Supernatural enabling. You need to direct your attention to the candlestick. Jesus said in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. We can't. It's all for naught. Actually, we're going to make things worse. How do I stay on track, preacher? I need to go to God every single day, and I need to talk to Him. I need to have my eye on Christ. I need to be in His Word. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Amen. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You got to be filled with the Spirit. How do I do that? Like refilling bowls every day, I have to submit every aspect of my life to the Holy Spirit of God. We talked about guarding your thoughts. Remember that from the last message? We talked about your thought life and where the battle comes. Yeah, you got to submit that part to the Holy Spirit. You also need to submit the baggage of your past. You also need to submit the pain of your past, the history. You also need to, your failings of today. You need to submit that to the Holy Spirit of God. And then that's every single day you get up and you say, Holy Spirit, I'm giving you my life today. And then you got to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. I say then, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is every person's battle every single day of our life. Do you realize the devil doesn't just want to get you off track? He'd like you to get so despairing that you just take your own life. And you fracture the family. You fracture your community spiritually. He'd not love nothing more to get you so off track mentally and emotionally. And by the way, Christians do have this struggle. Christians are not immune to depression or discouragement or despair or having thoughts like this. That's why we need each other. That's why we have to come alongside each other and lift each other up and pray for one another and love one another. And none of us walk a mile in our neighbor's shoes, so we need to give each other grace as they work on their life and as they work on their daily walk. You need to go back to the daily place of prayer and time in God's Word and refuel for... Look, you got all you can handle right there at your own little address where you live. Isn't that right? You got all you can handle right where you're at. Right? I don't got time to judge other people. Why? I'm too busy trying to walk with God. But what's the difference between being filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit? Well, number one, being filled with the Spirit is that daily submission to the Holy Spirit of God. Walking in the Spirit is that moment by moment answering and obeying His prompting. Have you ever been standing in line and a voice in your head go, "You're going to invite them to church?" By process of elimination, do you think that came from the devil? No, so where did it come from? You see what I'm saying? That's a prompt. There's been times when the Holy Spirit has said to me, "You ought to pick that up and take that with you." And I thought to myself, "Nah, I probably don't need it." Only to find out when I get into the next room and start digging into something, I got to go back out there and get that. And you think that's silly? No. That's the Holy Spirit of God trying to bless you according to Proverbs 3:1-2. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart." Right? You've heard that. But chapter 3:2 says, it says that you'll have more time in your day, more days in your life, and more peace in your heart. More time in your day. Who'd like to have a couple more hours? Just a couple more. Go home tonight and memorize Proverbs 1:2. God will give you more time in your day, more days in your life. The Holy Spirit of God will prompt you. You ought to pick that up. Or the Holy Spirit might say, "You actually don't need that. Set that aside." And you think, "Oh, that's just silly." That's the Holy Spirit trying to talk to you. He's trying to get you trained to hear His voice so in the little things so that you can respond when the big things come up. Have you ever talked to somebody and you ended up blurting out some Bible verse and you thought to yourself, "Where'd that come from?" See what I'm saying? Exactly. So the difference between being filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit is, number one, you're filled when you submit. You go to the Lord each morning. "Oh, God, I need you today. God, I'm giving my life to you today. Again, I need you to guide me, and I'm submitting myself to you." And then as you go about your day and so-and-so says something kind of mean to you, the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you on what to say back or not to say anything at all. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you moment by moment, and you are to respond to His prompting. That is walking in the Spirit. "Now let your light shine." That's what it says in Matthew 5. Well, what do you mean by that? As you are filled with the Spirit and as you are walking in the Spirit, you can't hide it. You can't hide it. There's going to be something about you that changes the whole culture of where you work because of it. And you're going to frustrate those that are walking in the other way. You're going to frustrate those who are walking with a demon or a fallen angel on their life. We've talked about that spiritual warfare out of Daniel chapter number 10. There are two sets of angels always hovering, always fighting. You need to get so busy shining for the Lord, you haven't got time to sin. The people around us are counting on us to have fresh oil each day. Your kids are counting on you. Your spouse is counting on you. And they deserve fresh oil. Just like that lamp, you have to refill every day. You have to resubmit. Because every day, this world, the flesh and the devil is going to blow on you. He's going to push on you. He's going to try to get you off the track God's got you on just a little bit. And he'll make it seem like it's your idea. And it's no big deal because it's such a small decision at the time. But for those of you who've qualified with weapons, understand a little adjustment is a big delta downrange. It's the same thing in your life. Little bitty decisions compound themselves to create large changes downrange. That's why you have to be filled with the Spirit. Dad, your family needs you to be filled with fresh oil every day. You know why? Because marriage is tough. Yeah, even being married to you, it's tough. You don't think that, but it's tough. Mom, family needs you to be filled with fresh oil. Ministry takes fresh oil. Now, I'm going to say it. Not a lot of people like it, but I'm going to say it anyway. You ought to consider sending your kids to a Christian college for 1 year to get a Bible certificate. Like I said, nobody likes that idea. Because we have bought into the success lie of this world. This world lies. And that success lie is garbage. You know what? You know what the average person with a liberal arts degree says every day? You want fries with that? You think? I love you, Angie. Don't look at me like that. I'm just kidding, but I'm actually not. This world doesn't have anything to offer us. And what if that 1 year away from home in a safe environment where your kid has rules and standards they have to live by, where they're having to read their Bible every day and they're having to be in chapel every day and they're having to be involved in ministry every single week and they hear the Word of God all day, and God actually gets a shot at speaking to them. God may not put them in the ministry. Not everybody's supposed to be in the ministry. What God might do, though, is change their life and their direction. So when, as they go out into the secular world and finish their secular career or degree at a secular college, they don't throw their faith away because they've actually heard from God. They've actually. How many saw the brother Bruce used the video of Elf the other day, and he did. And you, how many have ever seen that silly Christmas show? They could not convince him that Santa wasn't real. Why? Because he met him. And knew him and heard from him every day of his life. What if your children knew God and heard from God every single day? All of a sudden, the shiny junk of this world isn't so alluring. You see what I'm saying? But it starts with you and I. You say, well, I don't have any kids. But if you're not filled with fresh oil, you become one of the reasons why people don't stay in church. It doesn't matter if you've got kids here or not. Be filled with fresh oil. These children need to see people who shine for Jesus. Amen. All right, I admit it. I didn't get saved till I was 23. But the first Christian beyond my parents I ever saw was a woman about that tall named Laura Mayo. And Laura was as, I think she was old as dirt. And she gave me my first Bible. And you know what she said to me? She said, Johnny Mix, I think God wants to use you. I thought, that's silly. I don't know what you're talking about. I still have that Bible. You just don't know what you as a church member can do to the people and the kids of this church if you're filled with fresh oil every single day. Christians are like porcupines. The closer we get, a lot of times we hurt each other. And so if you're filled with fresh oil, you got a better than average chance to heal quick and give people the benefit of the doubt and pray for them and love them and find out that they were just having a problem that was completely theirs. You just happened to get stepped on. And that's okay, it happens. But to get filled with fresh oil, that means you've got to go to that secret place of prayer and talk to the Lord. For me, a lot of times it's in my truck. I'm alone. I'm driving. It doesn't hurt to pray while you're driving in this county. Right? It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. I talk to God all the time. I talk to him all the day long. I talk to him. Number two, going to the light of the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend. Psalm 119, 165 needs to be your memory verse for this week. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing, nothing shall offend them. That's Bible meditation. And then you submit to the Holy Spirit of God each day, and then you act upon the impulses he gives you. Because he's never going to lead you contrary to his word, ever. So he's never going to lead you into sin. He's never going to lead you to abuse other people with your mouth or your actions or your neglect. He's never going to lead you to hurt people or to offend people on purpose. It's just the very few that are being influenced by the other side many times that will get a little ruffled. But everybody else will see the light of the glorious gospel. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that, here's the reason why, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who are you proving that to? Do you think God needs you to prove it to him? Nope. So who is it proving it to? Well, number one, it proves it to yourself. But number two, it also proves it to the people who are watching. Every day in Leviticus 24, Aaron and his sons were to refill the candlestick morning and evening with fresh oil. You and I need to submit like that every day, morning and evening, throughout our day, so we can shine. That's how you stay on track. That's how you stay healthy when the hurts come. That's how you stay up when the devil tries to knock you down. Because it doesn't matter what's happening to you physically. You can be a weak soul in a strong body. You can be that light. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Just a simple message tonight. Our heavenly gracious Father, tonight in the next few moments, each one of us needing a fresh, fresh cup of oil, come to you tonight, submitting ourselves to you, desiring to be filled with you. Forgive us of our sin. Help us to acknowledge it and to confess it, my Savior, please. That we don't pass it off as a weakness. God, help us tonight. We're needy people. And Father, as we give ourselves to you anew and afresh each day, lead us and use us for your kingdom and for your name's sake. And Father, through it all, may we see our loved ones saved. May we see our children walk with you and desire to be like you because they saw you in us. Give us fresh oil today in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brother Phil starts the music, this is the time of prayer tonight. Won't you come? Won't you come and just talk to the Lord and come for a fresh dose tonight? Ask the Lord to help you not to fret and be envious of the lost. Help the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you trust Him while you do good by faith. Ask the Lord to help you delight in Him and His fellowship. Ask the Lord to help you to trust Him with your future. Ask the Lord to help you rest and wait, assured of His promises. Ask the Lord to help you wait on His timing and be faithful, to cease from anger, and to follow the examples He set. Our Father and our God, we love You. And above all, Father, may Your name be exalted and Your kingdom expanded. Father, bless us as we go from this place. Having met with You, with our cups full, we hold them high. And Father, we pray You would shine through us, nothing voiding out Your light as others see truth in You, in us, through You and from You. And Father, help us as brothers and sisters in Christ to use that same grace to be forgiving and loving to those around us. And Father, help us. We'll praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.